Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
Live from San Francisco, very early in the morning. Let's say hello to Kat Ely. Kat, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I think that this piece that you've put up on Medium.com is fascinating. To give you a little bit of context, you're a designer and founder of Clear Design Lab, which is a consultancy that's changing the way that physical products get designed and developed, from medical devices to robotics to clean energy technology. I know that you're very passionate about leveraging design to create a better future. And certainly you look at the world around us, and I mean, this is something that I'd never really paid much attention or given much thought to before reading your piece on Medium. And you look at things like the fact that seatbelts were designed mainly with men in mind. You look at the idea that medicine has predominantly been tested on men, although it's also, you know, being given to women, which means that it's not as safe for women to use. You look at the idea that a hammer has been designed with a man's hands in mind. And you look at the world around you and you see a lot of bias, right, Kat?
Yeah, I've certainly noticed that. And I've gotten a lot of examples through researching for this piece.
So it's inspired our big question of the week, which is how much unknowing bias is there in the world from a male and female perspective, particularly with design in mind? I mean, let's zoom out for a second. What is your take on the world that we live in right now and sort of the male-female dynamic and how much stuff is for men and how much stuff is for women?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a pretty optimistic person. So I think if we zoom out and look at the world at large, it's never been better and more equal for men and for women than it is today. But I do think that there's a long way to go. And especially historically, a lot of products have been designed with men in mind. And so we're still living with the consequences of a lot of that today.
How do we change the culture within design and engineering consultancies who are creating new things every single day to make stuff with women more in mind? So when a car company is building a new car and looking at the mechanic of the seatbelt, how do we make sure that in as much as they've got a male dummy in that car testing out the seatbelt, they've got a female body replica as well?
Well, so that's actually something that's been changing. I think it's just all about the research, you know, making sure, like you said, making sure that there is a female crash test dummy, making sure that there's children crash test dummies as well, to make sure that seatbelts are safe for children. And it's, you know, it's really all about the research. It's about, you know, for medicine, for example, making sure that you use female test subjects. After I wrote this article, somebody reached out to me on Medium and said that this actually goes through to animal testing as well, which I didn't even know that most like rats and other animals that are mice that are tested, the medicines are tested on, they're tested on mostly male mice and male rats. And then that gets translated to humans as well, is that most of the test subjects are male. So I think it's just all about changing that research. And I think having more women in design and engineering roles helps the women in the room can help advocate for that. You know, there are some design consultancies that are doing a really excellent job. And then in doing this research, I also found some design consultancies that have 10 or 15 people and not a single woman on staff, which seemed surprising to me.
Do you think that women need to question more in terms of, you know, products and things that they're buying, or ask questions about medicine that they may be taking, or ask questions when they're walking into a car dealership to try and ignite more of a conversation? Do you think that women are just accepting too much of the old archaic male-skewed norms that exist in a design context?
You know, that's an interesting question. You know, I'm not a doctor, so I can't speak to it from a medical perspective. You know, for a car, it would be really interesting if car manufacturers published that kind of information in terms of, you know, what kind of crash dummies or their safety ratings across different demographics.
Bringing the conversation home a little bit, because when I read this, it kind of, you know, it made sense because I've experienced these situations before in the context of an office. You write in this piece that one of the reasons that you'll often notice that women find that they're too cold while men will say that the temperature is fine is because mm-hmm. buildings that were designed in the 1960s were really designed for men, and women who have typically smaller frames and less muscle mass naturally then will feel a little bit colder. I mean, that really kind of drives it home in terms of just like the structure of a building not being as geared to women as what it is to men. And I wonder how we strike a better balance from that architectural design perspective moving forward.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting one. I think having, you know, even if we just had thermostats in the office that, people themselves could regulate rather than, you know, that statistic was from, a lot of offices where the temperature is regulated for you. I think that would go a long ways. And then probably, I think a lot of it has to do with the, norms of how people dress, you know, like in a very professional office, you might find women wearing a blouse and a skirt and then men wearing a suit, which they're also wearing a lot more clothes on top of it. So, you know, that also speaks to why men feel a lot warmer and women feel a lot cooler.
I mean, it is a really interesting one because you start to look at everything that there is and start thinking, you know, how male skewed is it? Even I'm thinking of the headphones that I'm wearing right now. I mean, these headphones that I'm wearing, they may be Bose headphones, but were they ever even tested on a woman? Would a woman find them as comfortable as what I would find them? It's difficult to, I don't know, even begin to approach the narrative a little bit. I mean, how are you doing it in your everyday work? How are you starting to try and implement this in what you're doing? Because actually the task, when you really zoom out, feels a little bit overwhelming.
It does. It does. I think it's all about making sure that you have diversity among the test subjects. So whenever we're designing something, we try to make sure that we have extremes in terms of somebody that's very small and somebody that's very, very large. So one of my employees, for example, is a man that's 6'5". And so he works really well as a test subject for on the larger side. And then you know, I'm sort of average size for a woman, and then but I have you know a few friends that are smaller, and then if we're doing a larger research study, we try to make sure that we select candidates that are you know both on the extreme end of being very very tall or very large, and then on the extreme end of being very very small to make sure that whatever we're designing works for all people and works for people of varying strengths. You know, after writing this article, I had a lot of women send me messages about childproof caps or other things that they have trouble with because of the strength required to open it. And I think the same thing can be true, not just for women, but older people that have arthritis or, you know, they would have a lot of trouble opening jars.
Well, this is fascinating because how many times does a woman say, sorry, could you open this for me?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, that's actually, it's weird how in my mind that's always been a thing of, oh, well, it's a strength thing. It's never been a thing of, well, this has been designed so that I'm able to open it easier than what you are. It's got very little to do with strength in a sort of traditional sense, but actually that's a failure of the design that the mm-hmm. consumer isn't able to easily open it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is powerful stuff. Tell me about this word design. I mean, it's clearly a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. What's your relationship with the word design?
Oh, I'm not really sure. My relationship with the word design, I'm not really sure how to answer that. I mean, I guess what I think of when I think of design is, I guess because I design physical products, I usually first think of, the, you know, physical product design. So I usually think of industrial design first, but design really is a much, broader word. You know, it can mean system design or how people use things, you know, how people move within a space or how, you know, it can mean a lot of different things.
Absolutely. But hopefully what it means is ease of use. And certainly you've really opened up my eyes to how some stuff doesn't have ease of use when it comes to women's interactions with it. Cause it's really not right that a woman would have to say, could you assist me with this or could you assist me with that? It's just clearly that it's been designed not with women. And I mean, I'm thinking of flat pack furniture now. Now you got me thinking of everything, Kat. I feel bad for being a man right now. This sucks.
No, you don't need to feel bad for being a man. I mean, you're 50% of the, you know, of the people in the world that are men. So it's just as important that things are designed so that men can use them easily as it is that important that things are designed so that women can use them easily.
I do like one of the parts of your piece on medium.com. It asks the question, what would the world be like if it were designed by women? And you say, flip the situation. If cars were designed with only smaller framed women in mind, we'd find ourselves in an equally problematic situation. It seems immediately absurd when the roles are reversed, but we seldom question the disparity in design when it's a status quo. And this is what it's about. It's about changing that status quo and the not accepting that stuff is very male skewed in terms of how it's initially assembled and put together.
Yeah, definitely.
Power. Well, thank you so much for writing the piece. I think it's great. You've certainly made me think of a couple of things. And I'm excited to embrace and look at more brands and designers that embrace and create stuff with the woman as the focal point. Obviously, not a complete regret, a complete skew towards a woman, but maybe striking a little bit more of a balance in the future so that a woman doesn't have to say, sorry, could you open this cap for me? Because it should be designed that, you know, she's able to do that.
Exactly.
Power. The piece is on medium.com. It was written on the 8th of September 2015. If you want to keep up with Kat, it's Kat_Ely, a designer and founder of Clear Design Lab, a consultancy that's changing the way physical products get designed and developed. Kat, thank you so much. Have a great day in San Francisco. I know you got a full day ahead. It's like 7:30 in the morning. So get on with your bad self, Kat.
Thank you.
Power. There you go. It is an interesting one. Producer Kat, you ever given this thought in terms of stuff being designed specifically with men in mind?
Maybe once upon a time, but not as deeply as she did in her article.
It really is fascinating. It's completely changed a lot of my views on... I always felt like a manly man when a woman was like, sorry, could you open this for me? But actually, it was designed so that I could open it, and it's kind of a little bit discriminatory towards women. So I'm not going to feel so manly next time that happens.
Yeah, just feel like it was made for you, so you should be able to open it.
Exactly. It's exactly what I'm going to say. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.